from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Ursula is out, but Aaron Mason will fill in for Ursula. Good morning to you, Brother Mace.
Good morning, G.
Thank you for being here. It is an outstanding show. Mm-hmm. We got to get right to it because these topics, I have a feeling that you are going to be more animated. And you, Mace, I'm talking
Me?
To you.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be more animated with these topics than I am.
And that's very possible.
And that's what I know. It's going to be a good topic. Chef, you ready to go, brother? Let's get to it. Let's get to the top three things that all of you need to know at 10.
Number one.
How are you feeling about President Joe Biden right now? The president's two biggest priorities, the Build Back Better bill and the John Lewis voting rights bill, they're stalled. And as of right now, it doesn't really look like they're going to pass. Now, Americans will finally be able to get free COVID tests. We talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour, but it's kind of a little bit too late. But it is going to happen. And the expanded child tax credits, which sent checks up to $300 per month to parents for each child. Well, that expired. And then Senator Mitt Romney, he's blasting the president for having the audacity to try and pass legislation Republicans don't like. But he may have a point.
He's got to recognize that when he was elected, people were not looking for him to transform America. They were looking to get back to normal, to stop the crazy. And it seems like we're continuing to see the kinds of policy and promotions that are not accepted by the American people. And the president needs to stop and reset and say, what is it he's trying to accomplish? And if it's to try and transform America, he's not going to unite us. Bringing us together means finding a way to work on a bipartisan basis. He had one success, the infrastructure bill, and that was done by Republicans and Democrats in the Senate working together. Build on that kind of success.
Bring things back to normal. You guys heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure you guys heard that part about bring things back to normal. Before you go, I just want to say this. I teased it. I talked about it. People wanted to know where I was going. And I said Pop-Tarts, Hamburger Helper, and President Joe Biden.
You sound like Karnak. Remember when Johnny Carson used to do Karnak? Is that a thing that you...
No.
I do really have the turban. Yeah,
yeah. You sound just like him.
Where I'm going with this is if a group of kids in a home, if some brothers and sisters, every single night, they would have Pop-Tarts for dinner. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having Pop-Tarts for dinner. And then someone says, oh, my goodness, they need so much better. They can't just be having Pop-Tarts for dinner. And so someone comes in and we're like, we're going to bring in this new person, this new president, President Joe Biden. And this person is going to bring in something that is so much better and so innovative. And it's Hamburger Helper. And the thing about the Hamburger Helper is this. It's way better than what they had before. Don't get me wrong. But this Hamburger Helper is supposed to be where everybody can do it. It's nothing special. There's nothing fancy. And we don't want to mess anything up. We don't want to be innovative. We don't want this world to progress and go forward. We just want this simple Hamburger Helper. And really, it's kind of true. Mitt Romney has a point. He was just supposed to get in place and get rid of crazy, what we had in here before. And now that he's in place, he's not doing anything. But like Chef said this morning, the Democratic Party is the only party in this situation that actually gets heat from not doing anything. The Republican Party, we already know they're not doing anything. But when the Democratic president's there, they get heat from not just the Republicans, but also from the Democrats as well.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, since President Joe Biden has been in office, I wish he would have campaigned on, hey, I'm going to pause student loan debt the entire time. I wish he would have campaigned on that. Because if he would have, then we would have known.
Didn't he campaign on potentially eliminating student debt?
Yes! That's my point. Yes! But he continues to pause. And then there are people... And this is my last point I'll make, because people text in all the time with the whole "Let's go, Brandon." Like, how juvenile is that? Just say it. I've said it. What it means, that is. But go ahead. Good,
yeah,
Mace. What,
yeah,
you got?
That's just a dumb. That is
just
like
dumb.
It's stupid.
Third graders.
All right. So I hate this.
Which part do you hate?
All of this. I am not a fan of Joe Biden in particular. The idea that the bar is so incredibly low that the only thing this guy needs to do is not be the other guy. I hate that. I don't think that's good. There's also this idea that what Mitt Romney said about unpopular policies and things, like, that's just not true. There are a lot of progressive ideas that have tremendous popular support that they're not taking any action on, because I think these people in government who are so detached from what it's like to live in America, who have never had to live in an America like we have now, which, spoiler alert, ain't great for a whole lot of people, they don't govern, they don't do anything, they're professional election runners, they just run for election, and that bothers me. And also, this idea that the solution is in the middle is absolute nonsense. That's not true all the time. That's a logical fallacy, the middle road fallacy. You can't tell me, you can't have two people and one person says the earth is flat and the other person says, no, the earth is round. And then you go, well, it's a dome then. It's half a circle. Like, it's not true. That's not true. And it might make people feel better, but it just shows the dysfunction in our government and the complete disregard for the majority of the American people.
I like what you said about a lot of politicians, decision makers that are so detached from the reality of what's going on of the majority of the world. I say this all the time. The top 10% financially have the money, has 75% of the money. The rest of the 90%, all of us are sharing the 25%. And I think that I am, my life recently and what I really talk about and study about and try to advocate about are those that don't have, which is a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I am dug into this fight is because I can't tell you how many times that friends or people that I know that say things like, well, you know, you can't help everybody else, I'm just going to worry about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I there is no way in the world that I could ever think that way, because I'm where I am today. Well, because someone else said,
yes,
hey,
yes,
let me help you.
Yes.
Right. So
that's how a society functions.
If I got help, what in the world, who am I to say I'm not going to try to help others? And again, back to these decisions and policymakers and all of those folks out here are so detached to what's really going on. So detached. Don't know what it's like.
No, Mitt Romney's worth a gazillion dollars. Of course he wants things to be the way they were, because that worked for him. But he's an outlier. He's an exception.
I have a real problem with Senator Romney's statements, because he said Biden was elected to stop the crazy, not to transform the country. Well, you know what? I voted for President Biden to actually do something.
Yeah.
I vote for governing leaders to make our lives better, because I think that is the function of government, is to improve people's situation, not to knock down things that already exist. I think we can all agree, Americans want affordable health care. Americans right. want affordable college. Americans want paid time off to spend with their new babies and their families. Like, these are things that we can all agree on. And in fact, Senator Mitt Romney himself was one of the first supporters of those expanded child tax credits, and he thinks they should be done in perpetuity. However, it is not President Biden's job to stop the crazy, because frankly, we have one party in this country that has been radicalized and has Stockholm syndrome, is being held hostage by a bunch of crazy people that think that President Biden is not the president. And if you want to have bipartisanship, you actually have to show up and negotiate.
Yep.
You can't have one entire party that says, we will not vote for a single thing or any one of your bills that's on your agenda, aside from roads, because who can disagree on roads? That's basic functioning of government. When you have that position of zero bargaining, you will end up with a massive bloated Democrat bill every single time, because why even bother trying to appeal to the other side if they know there's not a chance one toe is going to dip in that right. water to meet you halfway?
Right.
Did you know that shipping company profits jumped 900% to $150 billion last year? And I'm bringing that point up because it's harder to look at that, but it's easier to just imagine that inflation is caused because that burger costs an extra dollar now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How we look at money and how we look at where the money and what's happening. Like, oh, you know what? Because they went up on price, do you want to pay extra for that dollar, for that burger? Because if you do, that's what's going to happen with inflation.
Yeah. Okay. That tactic would work on me if companies weren't showing record profits.
That's why I started off.
Yeah.
900%.
They are making all of the money, but they're keeping it. That's what's happening. It's the transfer of wealth. The 10 richest people in the world, their incomes doubled during the pandemic. Doubled. They started at an incomprehensible amount of money and doubled. It's immoral. It's awful.
All right, we better get to number two.
Yeah,
number two.
All right, let's talk about one of the fastest growing jobs in America. It's Amazon warehouse work. Have you heard what it's like to work there? I have, and we have this video from an Amazon worker. I'm going to play a clip from it. It's about a minute. He's out in the Midwest.
Do not work at Amazon. It is truly a waste of your time. I can write a book about the amounts of bull that was at that place, but let me show you my personal favorite. If you worked at Amazon, you know what TOT stands for. It stands for time off task. This mostly relates to people that work on the lines. And this pretty much means if you are off task for more than 5 minutes, a supervisor is in within their rights to fire you on spot. And I've seen it happen. And trust me, you can't finesse around it. The computer you work at literally logs in your time. Meaning if it sees that you have not scanned something in 5 minutes, it will report you to a supervisor. The work hours are 10 to 12 hours long, 2 15-minute breaks and 1 half-an-hour break. Also, you're on your feet. You're not allowed to sit down for 1 second of those 10 hours. I was so tired one night, I just took a knee for 5 minutes. I got in trouble by a supervisor.
Mm. You go ahead, Mace.
Well, here's my thoughts about this. I'm going to start big and zoom in. Nature abhors a vacuum. That the rules of existence as we know them, things look for balance, right? Things want to balance themselves. And this guy, he is paying our cost of convenience, that we think it's so easy for us to go click, not think about it. But that effort, that work has to be made up somewhere else. And we are just concentrating it on these poor people who are working at Amazon under a system that has been designed very successfully to exploit them and their efforts.
I'm just going to simplify it, right? Like, I'm not against hard work. as a former car detailer, did car detailing for over 11 years. Hard work teaches a lot. Hard work is good. Some of you guys are listening. You are a hard worker. You're physically in the trenches. Respect to you out there. I have no problem with hard work. I have no problem with someone at Amazon doing all of those things. I just have a problem with taxpayers subsidizing their income. You guys get where I'm going? I mean, is that too much to ask?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do that work, and these are the rules, and if you don't scan something for 5 minutes, I don't have a problem with that. Like, that's the rules. But at least, can you make sure that these employees are paid enough to where, you guys always talk about our tax dollars, to where our tax dollars don't go to subsidize their income?
I would agree with you on them's the rules, except that, except that we hear from the workers. We hear from them, and they don't feel like they're being treated like humans. And so whenever there's a group, whatever that group is, that expresses as a group, the rules for us are not okay, I think it's on us to listen to those people.
But Mace, but Mace, man, if they're... I hear what you're saying. I don't want to negate what you're saying because I like what you're saying, and I know that. But if the pay is better, and when I say pay is better, like everybody's asking me, well, what kind of pay do you want for them? If you live in the city of Seattle, you need $27 an hour to be able to afford a place to live for yourself. Okay? Is it too much to ask for these employees at this job at the bottom scale of Amazon to make that plus an hour? That's it. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for them to be millionaires, but I'm asking for the company that is one of the richest companies in the world to not have any employees that have their income subsidized.
There was a time where you could buy a house with one person's income. That time is gone. That money still exists. It's just off balance. It's just a few people that have all of it. And that's not how things work.
Well, Chef, we didn't get to number three. And I don't know. They're going to really tell on us now. Hey, Chris Sullivan. You guys know Sully is going to join us next. He's going to join us to talk about the fallout from 5G in the sky. We'll explain what that means next. G and Ursula with Mace. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today. Aaron Mason fills in for Ursula coming up at 9:47. At 10:47, it'll be time for scenarios. And in this scenarios, find out how the husband is not happy about the wife putting work first. We'll explain that next. But we've all heard the 5G conspiracies. As a matter of fact, my aunt, who I deleted off Facebook, continues to always bring that to me. It's, she says it's being used to track you. It's being used. It kills birds. It causes cancer. But could 5G really bring down airplanes? So not only does he cover traffic on the ground, but now traffic in the air. Let's bring in Sully.
Traffic. No more traffic.
Oh, Sully, you do it all, brother.
Yeah, hey, if it's transportation related, it's my thing. It's my jam.
Okay, man, it starts on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. 5G could cause issues and problems in the air, planes to be canceled. Tell us what we need to know, sir.
Okay, basically what's happening tomorrow is a new band of radio frequencies is going to go active for 5G. And what that means is those frequencies that they are going to use for those cell carriers are getting closer and closer to the frequencies that are used by planes as they land. Now, they land under certain circumstances. So, for instance, if you're in a very bad weather area, like you're, you know, you guys were in Chicago, growing up in Chicago, bad weather, you know, fog, bad weather, things mm-hmm. like that. A pilot can land a plane using the autopilot. He can just go hands off the stick and let the autopilot take it all the way down to the ground. And when it does that, the altimeter in tied to the computer in the plane talks to the ground to get its altitude when landing. Very important. Okay?
Yeah.
The 5G frequencies are getting close to the frequencies that those radio altimeters use during those bad weather landings. And so the FAA, all the major airlines in the U.S., are concerned that we're not really sure we want to be landing our planes, even in these circumstances, when we might get interference from cell phone 5G from you running The Witcher on Netflix when I'm trying to land a plane and my plane all of a sudden doesn't know where the ground is. So there's a concern that some of these planes might just go, listen, we're not going to fly to these places tomorrow. We're just not going to fly. We don't think it's safe. The FAA thinks more study is needed. They think that they're rushing this through. Now, here's the situation. 40 countries have run 5G on this new C-band where they are around the world and have had no issues.
Right.
They have no issues. What they do around major airports, like they are doing here in Seattle, there's going to be a little 5G buffer zone where they can dial up or down the frequency if they are having any potential issues, which Europe has not had. But SeaTac will have that, but not all airports will have that buffer zone. And so the FAA is like, well, if we don't have a buffer zone at airport X, we don't think it's safe to fly there. So what they're telling everybody is tomorrow or tonight, actually, when it goes active, that you might see some delays, some cancellations to this. And again, that's coming from the FAA and the airline side.
Come
of this.
On, we might, Sully.
Yeah, that's the situation.
So you mean to tell me there's some people right now, they're listening to you. They are probably, somebody's about to fly out tomorrow, Thursday or Friday. You mean to tell me there is problem? I mean, you know what we've gone through here at SeaTac over the Christmas and everything. You mean to tell me there is a good potential that there could be some flights that are canceled due to 5G?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know the conversations on Facebook? People are going to now say, and add this, my aunt now is going to say, see, I told you.
And they are saying thousands of flights. They say, and they being the FAA and the industry, the airlines are saying, it could basically ground our entire operations, both freight and passenger service. That's what they're saying.
Hold on.
The FCC, who governs the airwaves and the cell phone companies, are saying, you guys are blowing this a little out of proportion. We don't think this is going to happen. I talked to an aviation insider yesterday. He's like, listen, as a person who's on a plane worrying about whether or not your plane's going to hit the ground because its altimeter is off, I wouldn't worry about it. It's only used in these certain circumstances and only when the autopilot is on all the way through landing. Most flights, the pilot takes control. They can go down to 200 feet if the visibility's at 200 feet and take the stick at 200 and kick off the autopilot and use other systems. So they say it's rare and not as a big of a deal, but the FAA, I think right now, in talking to some people, the FAA's, well, let's just say they're looking at things a little tighter after the MCAS system on the 737 and going, yeah, we're not going to let something happen without really, really going after this thing a little bit. And it all turns out to be a fight between the FCC and the FAA. Bottom line, you could see some delays tomorrow over this, over 5G in this C-band. So, yeah.
But, Sully, something ain't stirring the Kool-Aid for me. This is a gazillion-dollar investment.
$80 billion.
We've been working on this. Things have been going, and then it's supposed to turn on tonight. And now is when they raise a flag. When there's a problem.
They've been talking about it and kind of raising the flag for about a month and a half, 2 months now as the deadline got closer. But yeah, I mean, basically, you thought there might have been a little longer run up to this as opposed to all of a sudden Sunday before the Wednesday, you put out something before the MLK Day Monday holiday going, all the airlines have signed off on this and the FAA saying, let's pump the brakes. Let's not make this happen. While the cell phone companies have shelled out $80 billion.
Yeah, over however long amount of time.
Exactly.
But Sully, we've all flown. You know, you got to turn your phone off during takeoffs and landings. That why was that not the first thing these people are? Are they just trying to avoid? I don't know, paying for stuff. Is this FAA versus FCC?
Well, no, I mean, because most planes have these radio altimeters that they could use and the systems that they can use to land. And you know, what it's come down to, it seems like it's kind of a you-know-what match between two guys saying the FCC and the FAA, two governmental agencies kind of arguing with each other. To get down into the bare bones, and I know G hates it when we get kind of specific in numbers. I get it. So here are the gigahertz frequencies. Ooh. Planes use 4.2 to 4.4 gigahertz.
Okay.
That's
like a dial on the radio.
Correct.
Right.
The 5G C-band goes from 3.7 to 4.2. Okay, so they would go right next to each other. However, the cell companies are only going to take it up to 3.8 tomorrow. So they're still way far away in terms of radio frequency and potential interference.
Right.
And so far there hasn't been any interference at that level as we've seen it running through Europe. So we'll see what happens.
So, Chris?
Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff?
Clarify. Go ahead. So this is running in 40 countries right now. So this is basically the FAA saying they're warning us of the Y2K bug in 2003?
Potentially. Yeah. A little late on that. Yeah, so the bottom line, though, for everybody is, listen, you got a flight tomorrow, the next day, double-check with your airline. Not only you have to worry about a passenger shortage, a pandemic shortage and cancellations and things like this. This is just one more thing to be prepared for if you're flying tomorrow. Make sure your plane's good to go, and then double-check before you head to the airport, because this could be an issue tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Sully. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, anytime.
Coming up next in scenarios, find out what happens when a husband writes us to tell us his wife is taking her job way too serious. We discuss that next. Gene Ursula with Mace. It is the G and Ursula Show coming up at 11 o'clock. It'll be time for agree to disagree. But right now, we got to get right to the scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Okay, I don't listen to the show, but my wife does. And she loves when you guys solve problems. So when we started fighting about this, she told me to run it past you and she'd be fine with whatever you say. But she refused to write because she says this is my problem and not hers. But she's the cause of the problem. We've been having a bit of a rough time for the past few months. It's not relationship threatening, but it's been tense. She's been working a lot, pouring herself into her job, and trying to build a career. She ends up going to happy hour with coworkers or clients at least once or twice a week, and usually has a business dinner at least once a week, too. It's getting to be too much, especially when so many people are not that anxious to go out right now because of the pandemic. It just seems suspicious that her job would demand so much social interaction, and it's been bothering me. On Thursday, she texted and said she's going out for drinks with some people from work. She got home 4 hours later, and I confronted her about it. She confessed that she had a bit too much wine, stayed longer than planned, and ended up hanging out with the boss as well. She feels terrible about it. I believe her. She now says she started making this a thing of this happy hour and the dinners as being related to making her go further in her career. What should she do? 888-973. Cairo is the State Roofing text line. Mace, you up the bat first.
All right. Well, there are places, careers, times in life, windows where I think this kind of thing is completely appropriate. If she's I don't know where she is on that, if she's in this window, but for me, yeah, sometimes you just gotta sacrifice a little bit on the personal side to get ahead on the work side. Now, that's not something you want to do continuously throughout your life, but there are moments, and a lot of work, a lot of business happens after hours socially. That's how, you know, the deals get made sometimes. So depending on what she does and where she's at, it's just kind of a temporary thing that you're going to have to deal with.
All right. Chef, what do you got, buddy?
This is really hard. You know what? I will tell you that as a husband, it would bother me. It would bother me if my spouse was going out a couple times a week for hours after work for social occasions that may have some ancillary connection to work. And I understand that there are job environments and there are bosses that expect everyone to be, you know, one of the boys or one of the girls and show up, and that's where you do your networking. But I would say long term, that's probably not a career that you want to be in if you value your relationship. It would weird me out extremely if my spouse was gone for 4 hours at happy hour. And if you had too much to drink, you know, give me a call. I can send you an Uber. I can come pick you up. But I think it sounds like you need to have a conversation about the values in your relationship and how much time that you spend together, as well as trust. Because it sounds like you don't trust her, and that's a bigger issue than time away.
There's gonna be some people mad at me, and that's fine because I don't really care. If you are going to happy hour once, twice a week with the same people all the time, it's headed for disaster. Think about this for a second. If the idea is to network and come up with ideas, but you're meeting with the same people and it's over alcohol and drinks, you're not being productive. So you can be mad at me all you want. Now, if you are going out and about and you're networking and you're having meetings with different person, that is going to equal more money. I myself have not been doing a lot of meetings because of the pandemic over the last almost 2 years. That's starting to ramp up for me now. I'm starting to do those things because I believe in networking. I don't believe in the whole, quote, happy hour, I need to go get drinks. That's not my thing. I think that whole thing is such a slippery slope, because what's the number one thing you end up doing? You end up getting in a car, and what have you been doing? You've been drinking. I don't know. When you relate that to business, I'm not a fan of it. And I think that each relationship, everybody to each their own, but I think is a very slippery slope, and you need to be careful, and it is worth a conversation. If you just want to just pass it off as it being normal, I totally disagree. It is not normal to just go to happy hour twice a week. It's not.
Can I add a caveat on that? Because it's not normal at a certain stage in your life, but it also depends on how old you are and if you have kids. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you have kids and you're older, you are fighting for time and space in your relationship.
No
you
doubt.
Can go a whole week without having an actual conversation with your partner. When you're young, that's more normal and that's more acceptable because you have a lot of flex time. My question for the husband is, do you have social outlets too? Because if you are jealous of the fact that your wife is not home a couple times a week for social occasions, even if they're work related, are you relying on her for all your social interaction? And that is really the problem. I know there's a lot of guys in that situation. So I think a lot of this just depends on your situation in life too.
I just want to say one last thing. I got to say. So if you spend 8 hours with your coworkers at work, and then you need to go spend another 2 hours outside of work, am I missing something?
Yeah, you know there's a big difference between, like, I'll speak for myself. There's a big difference between work Aaron and social Aaron. Those can be two very different people depending on, you know, where I'm working and what my job is.
But you need this to further your career, though. That 2 hours is not going to further your career with the same folks you're spending 8 hours with. We got to go. Coming up next, it is Agree to Disagree. Gene Ursula with Mace.